Hey friend, welcome to the Grief to Great Day podcast. Do you feel like you're going crazy? Is the shower the only place for you to really cry? Are you surrounded by people, but you still feel all alone? Do you want to be the you were before your loved one died, but you have no idea how to get there? I'm Steph Cabanis, Southern by choice, wife, turtle triathlete, Jesus follower, and fellow traveler in the journey of grief. I too struggled to breathe, questioned God and my faith, and thought I would never be happy again. But God took my brokenness and He turned it into a breakthrough. So if you're ready to understand how to navigate grief, lean into your faith, and take just one step towards healing, then bring your ugly cry, get into a comfortable place, even if that's your bed right now, and let the healing begin. Girl, there's hope for your future. Come on in the house and join me on that couch. I'm Steph, and this is Grief to Great Day. Thank you for being here. I know this is a podcast you did not want to have to search for, but I hope you always feel welcomed and heard through these episodes. Grief to Great Day is downloaded in over 100 different countries in almost all the continents. This should tell you that you're not alone as you walk out the hardest journey of your life. And it tells me that there's a need to talk about grief from a Christian perspective. If you're listening for the first time and you wonder who Monica is, well, she's the reason that Grief to Great Day exists. She died within 6 months of being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but her faith journey changed my life. It changed me. Her story could change you too. So if you want to learn more about dying to be healed, the book I wrote about her crazy faith and undeniable fortitude, go to my website, grief2greatday.com, and click on the book tab. In this podcast, we talk about understanding grief. Like, it's not just about being sad. We talk about how to get through the day when you got nothing left and how to grow your faith, even if you don't want to talk to God right now. So if you're just starting your journey, please know that life will change. It won't always hurt like this. It's important for you to grab a hold of that. So I'll say it again. Your life will change and it won't always hurt like this. This is not to say that you'll stop missing your loved one, because you won't. But you will be able to breathe, to laugh, and to live again. Well, today I'm going to share a different kind of struggle with y'all and how it's time to put behind me the last issue of my grief journey. Yes, all these years later. You may know some of this already, but for those of you who are newer to the podcast, I'm going to give you a little background. I moved from Maryland to North Carolina at age 22 and was married a few months later. That marriage was my way out of a chaotic home with a mentally ill mother. That marriage was a mistake, and it was so hard that I didn't want to be on this earth anymore. As that marriage ended, I ran into Monica's ex-husband, who mentioned that she could use a roommate for the income, and I needed to move out of my house, literally my house, that my ex refused to leave. When I moved in with Monica, I could breathe for the first time in my life. I found a friend who became more like a sister, mother, mentor, a support system, because I became part of her family like I hadn't had before. She helped me through a divorce with death threats from the ex. She helped me through a bankruptcy, and she pushed me beyond my fears to return to college. Renting a room for $100 a month was the best decision of my life, because her friendship changed my life and pointed me toward God. Almost 2 decades later, when Monica received her diagnosis of melanoma and the prognosis of 6 months to live, I was shaken, almost traumatized, because I couldn't escape what that meant for her, her family, and for me. See, until you're in a moment like that, you cannot understand what it does to you emotionally, physically, but also spiritually. It's a visceral experience, and it totally overwhelmed me. A day after the diagnosis, while Monica was still able to walk, she had gone upstairs to take a shower, and I was sitting in the living room where I had been for 17 years, but everything seemed unfamiliar. So I did the most spiritual thing in the world because, whatever my relationship with God was prior to this moment, I started bargaining. I found myself on the floor screaming no over and over, and I immediately told God what he was not going to do to Monica or to me. I think Monica probably heard me. Actually, I think the neighbors probably heard me, but there was no stopping it. That was the hardest moment of my life. And remember, I had escaped my childhood home, a difficult marriage, and I had lost loved ones before this. This moment to me in my mind ended anything good in my life. This moment transformed our environment from a home to a hospital-like home with medical equipment like oxygen tanks and a hospital bed. We spent afternoons teaching me how to drain a pleurex, which is a tube they inserted into Monica's lung because so much fluid was accumulating. Now, she was the nurse, but she couldn't reach it to drain it, so I had to do that. I watched the video multiple times, and I asked a lot of questions because I didn't want to screw it up, and I didn't want to hurt her. Our kitchen counter went from clear and organized, you know, my OCD, to multiple patches, medications, and various pain relief. Her pain, it wasn't under control for almost a month because it was constant trial and error on dosage and side effects, and finally, we landed on morphine. The refrigerator transformed from being full of greens, carrots, and carrot juice to whatever Monica could eat and keep down. Monica's career as a nurse ended, which she was so proud of becoming. I continued to work, coming home at lunch for about a month until I had to take leave when she needed 24/7 care. Trying to make her comfortable was my new full-time job, and it became the hardest thing I had ever done. She slept very little, maybe 2 hours a day, mostly due to the pain. So I had very little sleep, and there were times, towards the end especially, when she needed help moving yet again. That is not said with resentment. It was just a fact that I got frustrated on the inside, asking God why he would allow such a thing. I was constantly moving and I had little time to eat. I remember that the only thing I wanted to eat was raisin cinnamon swirl bread. It's a very odd thing. Raisin cinnamon swirl bread. You know, it was in the red pack with the little girl on the outside. Anyway, I remember I ate it plain because I was always on the run. I became small enough that when our massage therapist, who became one of my best friends, she actually asked me if I was anorexic. Now, with my yo-yo dieting history, that was so funny to me, but I did appreciate her concern. After Monica died, I realized that the hardest parts of my life were nothing compared to this crushing thing called grief. My escaping a childhood that was chaotic seemed impossible, and though I took matters into my own hands, I didn't let God lead, I did end up in a marriage that could have taken me out. God allowed me to meet Monica, someone who initially took pity on me because I needed a place to live, but became God's agent of change in my life. Her music ministry gave me purpose, and then he allowed that to end in a really awful physical way for her while she was a steadfast example of awesome faith. Now, that faith was a legacy gift for me, and it helped shape my future, and it is why you are listening to me today. There were a few standout things that Monica and I had always wanted to do, like compete in an Ironman half triathlon. And if you've heard me in the past, you know that when we realized that bathing suits were involved in this triathlon, the idea died quickly. We settled for watching Ironman competitions on DVDs. See, we both had weight issues. We both used food to deal with the hard stuff in life. And we even did the diet thing together, losing 10, 20, 30 pounds only to gain it back and more. However, when Monica was diagnosed with cancer, we began living out what we had spent a couple of years learning about, a plant-based diet. Now, this plant-based diet was basically vegan, I guess. So no animal products, no meat, no dairy, no cheese, none of that. Going what we'll call vegan from a standard American diet, it is not easy. And so the pain of making the change had always been bigger than dealing with our weight and health issues, which, by the way, aren't just weight issues. It's not that superficial. It's also the way we saw ourselves, the way the weight kept us from doing physical things, yes, but also from moving forward on the music ministry too. So when she was diagnosed, we switched overnight. There was no more, I'll start tomorrow, or I'll start Monday, because now was life or death in our minds, and that pain became greater than going through the food transition. Monica lost over 100 pounds, and I lost 90 in 9 months. Can you say excess skin? Seriously, we had never felt better. Initially, when Monica was diagnosed, she had an excisional biopsy on the melanoma, and the doctors continued to be surprised that it hadn't grown back within 6 months. We thought we had found the answer to the question of becoming truly healthy. In my 6 years of research on a plant-based diet, I learned how to prevent and reverse chronic disease. My blood pressure was reduced to normal. I had energy to burn, clarity of mind, and my attitude was always good. I knew more about it than the docs at my hospital, and I was able to share clinical studies with them. About 4 years later, though, the melanoma came back with a vengeance, as they say it does, but on the inside. I had so hoped for the opposite. So when I saw in my mind that the diet didn't get rid of her cancer, I went to Egypt on the plant-based lifestyle. In other words, I stopped believing everything I had learned and had experienced. Years after Monica died, when I met Jeff, I was still not eating meat, but everything else. And I shared with him the health benefits of eating plant-based. Between that, kind of sparking my interest again, and my hospital finally embracing lifestyle medicine, I came back from Egypt and began researching again. I wanted to live that lifestyle, but since the time that Monica had died, I have only done it for a month at a time because I allow everything else to take priority. And I make a lot of excuses with my follow-through and consistency. I'm sharing this again because becoming healthy and strong and disease-free and that daggone half Ironman triathlon, it's still on my list. It just hasn't been a priority until now. If you've listened to me for more than a minute, y'all know I'm the picture of a flipping turtle. I'm slow on all the big things in my life. I'm slow. It took 2 years to fully trust and surrender my life to God in grief. It took 7 years to sell the house I lived in with Monica. It took 10 years after her death to spread her ashes. And it took 12 years after she died to complete the book I promised God I would write on her faith journey. And it's taken me 25 years to remarry after my first marriage. And now this health goal has taken 15 years to come back to life, to prioritize, and to finish the chapter on going after a dream that I have considered impossible. I share with you these time frames not to discourage you, not for you to think, oh my God, I can't wait that long. I hope you won't. I have. And this is where I am. So next week, I'm going to tell you how you can join me in my health journey. if you're wondering why I would think that you care about health right now when you're just trying to get through the day, well, it's because what I learned in my grief journey can help you in yours. This is not about you running a marathon, but you could. But it's about understanding that grief and health are not sprints. It's about you showing up for yourself, and me too. It's about you pushing through the who cares and I can'ts of grief to help you in your journey and build a healthy foundation for what you have ahead of you. Do not settle for watching your life go by, because you have a gift. You have a purpose that God has placed in you, and you are here for more. So what's your impossible goal? It might not be health right now. That's okay. It might be getting out of the bed or getting out of the house or maybe just getting out of your own way. Let's support each other and hold one another accountable. Y'all my peeps now, so we can ride this journey together. If you're wanting to get healthy, then listen for monthly episodes of my progress and let me know about your progress in health or in doing the things that you never thought you could do. These episodes are going to be called Health in Grief, How to Cope with Loss and Turn Emotional Pain into Power. What this will look like is that monthly episode I just mentioned. It's going to look like you pushing through the hard stuff, not every day, but on most days. It's going to include support and accountability, and of course, it's going to include prizes for a little incentive. Now, all the good stuff happens in the Facebook group, so you have to be a member to participate. I want you to participate if you want to push through any of your impossibles. It can be health, or it can be going to the grocery store. It can be getting back to church or going back to work or anything else that you have felt is impossible for you to do. More details will be coming up in the next Grief to Great Day episode. Y'all, we each have something we need help getting through. So don't let pride or fear get in your way. And don't let another year go by without you moving forward, even just a little bit. The word of the week, Psalm 34:18. Because Christ lives, we can live a life here on earth, not void of pain and temptation, but surrounded with the promise that God is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Your journey works, or the work of your journey, is to join the Facebook group. I told you that's where everything's going to happen, so I need you to be in there. If you're looking it up on Facebook, it's called the Grief Group for Christian Women, or you can go to my website, grief2greatday.com, and find it, or the link to the Facebook group will be in the show notes. Those three ways that you can find it. No excuses for not finding it. We're also celebrating over 50,000 downloads of this podcast. Now, this is something I would have said was an impossibility, but it happened not because of me, but because of God. So we'll have one more $50 gift card to give away. Join the Facebook group. You can start winning prizes already. Remember to check out the Coffee and Kathy, a weekly quiet time with God to build trust every Thursday, at least this year, on the Grief to Great Day podcast. It's a devotion-only episode. Grab a cup of coffee or tea, and in our new health journey, you can grab something green or smoothie and listen to the Word of God through the lens of Kathy's life experiences. If you don't have a church home, visit my church, opendoorchurch.com. Everything you need will be in the show notes, I promise. You're not alone. Today is not your forever. And yes, God still has plans for you. Keep coming back to the house, keep sitting on this couch, and keep taking steps towards your healing. Thank you for being here today, for showing up. If this podcast has given you hope, encouragement, or helped you in any way, share it with a friend, either in a text or on your social platforms. Also, please subscribe, rate, and leave a written review on iTunes. It's a huge blessing for me to know that you're out there. Lastly, and this is important, you are not alone. Connect with me on the Grief to Great Day website, the link is below, and sign up for our free newsletters. I want to be able to pray for you by name. Remember, grief isn't something you're going to get over, but a great day is something you can get to.